the dreaded date of August 17th. If you are in the real estate world, if you know somebody, as far as someone looking to buy a home, someone looking to sell a home, there's a lot of conversations going around right now because of the changes that are going on with NAR and the lawsuit and all that fun stuff. Full disclosure, there's a lot of information to gather. Cool. All right. Welcome back to the Closing with Corey podcast, episode 27. It's been a little bit trying to enjoy the summer a bit, trying to take the kids to the beach, doing all that fun stuff. But I wanted to come back before the dreaded date of August 17th. If you are in the real estate world, if you know somebody, as far as someone looking to buy a home, someone looking to sell a home, there's a lot of conversations going around right now because of the changes that are going on with NAR and the lawsuit and all that fun stuff. We already talked about it on episode 21. So if you haven't done so already, check that out to kind of see what exactly we're talking about. Full disclosure, there's a lot of information to gather. If you have any questions regarding this settlement and the changes that are kind of coming into place as of August 17th, go to NAR's website and be able to, you know, get all the information that you possibly can, because I don't want to talk outside of the realm of the information that I have. But most importantly, at least to what I think and my own personal thoughts on this, is that there's two main changes that are going to be happening on August 17th. And those are what I want to focus on for today's episode. The first of which is that the offers of compensation relating to a buyer's agent can no longer be shown on the MLS. So right now, just to kind of get an idea, the MLS is a multiple listing system or service. Agents that are representing buyers can go on there. They can do things like, you know, get the property information, get seller's disclosures, get tax information. All of the information regarding the property itself is located normally on the MLS. There's a section on there that is for agents, and that's going to showcase what the compensation is, whether it's, you know, 2%, 2.5%, 3%, and then there's going to be a deduction of the MLS fee. So right now, that's going to be the spot where that commission that essentially is being offered from the seller. Now, when a seller's agent meets with a seller, they're going to discuss on what the commission is going to be. Once they come to terms with it, then they're going to be able to then promote that onto the MLS. So you can't do that anymore. That's going to be one of the biggest changes. And we'll kind of talk about how that's going to affect things and affect buyer's agents and kind of change the way that things are negotiated and talked about. The second thing is that now agents that are working with a buyer are going to need to enter a written agreement before touring a home. That's probably the most important part of that sentence, is before touring a home. Ahead of August 17th, NAR encourages all members to address form changes prepared to educate real estate professionals and consumers, yada, yada, yada. Again, questions wise regarding the entire settlement, regarding other information, this is the only two things that I'm going to be talking about today, is going to be the compensation, how that changes things, and the agents working with the buyer. Real quick, briefly on the offer compensation. Yeah, these are going to be the two things that I'm going to be focusing on in this episode. First and foremost, let's talk about real quick the offers of compensation being prohibited on the MLS and kind of how that affects things. I think it's going to affect things in the sense to where it's honestly going to just make things a little bit more complicated when buyer's agents are speaking to seller's agents, because just because the compensation can't be shown on the MLS does not mean that a seller cannot offer compensation in other forms to a buyer's agent. This is going to be confusing because I'm even confused about this. There's something called a seller's concession. Back in the good old days when buyers kind of had a little bit of leg as far as negotiating, let's say for inspection items, and they wanted to get money back, whether there was, you know, they needed a new roof or something, so they needed a $15,000 credit. What they could potentially do is they can do a seller's concession towards that, and that's the way that they can kind of be compensated for that $15,000. Also, too, buyers used to be able to offer a certain amount. Let's say they offered $525,000 with a $15,000 going $15,000 seller's concession going towards closing costs. What does that mean? Is that even though the offer was $525,000, essentially it's really only $510,000 10 because they're utilizing $15,000 to be brought back to the buyers to be able to pay off closing costs and do things that they need to do. Sellers can still offer this compensation. It's going to be based off of what their agreement is going to be, what they're obviously going to be okay with and what they negotiate. And then it's just going to be figured out as far as how they can showcase that. As of right now, from my understanding, it's going to be the conversation that a buyer's agent is having with the seller's agent to say, hey, are they offering any compensation? What is it? X, Y, and Z. That still needs to be figured out. Again, that goes into play August. All of this goes into play August 17th. So I'm sure that as the time is closer and closer, there's going to be stipulations as far as what you can and can't do. But it's been pretty clear that what you cannot do is showcase or offer any type of compensation through the MLS. It's going to have to be through conversations, through websites, through other means outside of the MLS. Nothing showing compensation for the buyer's agent can be put on there. That being aside, the other big one, and this one, you know, you can feel however you feel about it. I think that it is only going to potentially cause a hiccup for some buyer's agents. Myself, I work with a lot of buyers. I work with a lot of sellers. I think that this will be something that will be integrated. I know that they've been trying to do this for a very, very long time. And I'll be honest with you, would this have potentially helped me from when I first got my license all the way up until present day? Had I had every single buyer that I've ever shown sign an agreement before I actually show them the house, whether it's a personal showing, a one-on-one or open houses or whatever the case may be, it probably would, because there's been certain circumstances that, you know, I wound up not representing those buyers. That's another story. I do think that it's very tough. My approach when I'm working with buyers is not to give them an agreement prior to showing houses or give them an agreement prior to even kind of getting to know what they're looking for and say, hey, sign this agreement or I can't show you houses, I can't do anything. That's just the approach that I have, but we're going to have to start implementing that as of August 17th. So what I did is I have Coldwell Banker's non-exclusive buyer agency agreement that I want to go through very briefly as far as what I think is the most important. Obviously, the whole thing is important, and I would be able to go over this in depth and a lot more thoroughly with any buyers, but I kind of just want to let you know and showcase as far as what this is going to be. So what these new provisions are trying to say is that as of August 17th, I'm going to have a buyer sign this prior to going and seeing any houses. So let me just do a little reading for you. It starts off with obviously stating who the buyers are and then obviously stating who the individual agent is going to be. The first part of it is going to be engagement. It says that you, the buyer, hereby retain Coldwell Banker Realty for the purpose of assisting you in finding, negotiating, and purchasing a property satisfactory to you. Pretty self-explanatory. This agreement only applies to identified properties. And here's where it gets a little bit tricky. Identified properties is in quotations. They define identified properties as a property that you are shown, whether in person or virtually, by Coldwell Banker, informed of, directed, or introduced to by a Coldwell Banker, and with respect to any properties about which you inquire of Coldwell Banker or otherwise seek assistance from Coldwell Banker. With respect to any identified properties, you agree to work with Coldwell Banker exclusively and not with any other broker, and you further agree that you will not directly communicate with a seller or the listing agent of the identified property. You are otherwise free to work with other brokers or with no broker with respect to properties that are not identified properties. So long, long story short, if I'm working with a buyer, I would obviously hope that they would reach out to me about whether it's open houses that they want me to attend with them or properties that they want me to show them or questions. And I get this all the time where a buyer will send me over a property and say, hey, you know, what do you think that this home is worth? Or hey, what do you think this home is going to go for? Now, if you're looking at this agreement, that's going to fall into the realm of identified properties because it's a property that they're talking about. So it just is going to, you know, maybe potentially cause an issue that if I haven't established a relationship yet with a buyer and we're in the beginning stages and just kind of getting a feel for each other and getting to know each other a little bit, if they send me a property and they say, hey, can you give me your opinion on what this could potentially go for? Essentially, I will have to have this signed before I can kind of even talk about it. That's for as far as engagement, that's kind of like the main part. Again, there's more stuff on here. If you want, I can go over a lot more in depth with all the buyers that I'm working with. Secondly, they have as far as term. This is going to be from which date to which date. Now, let's just go over a listing agreement. Listing agreements can be really any term that's agreed upon by the seller and the agent. Typically, you kind of see 3 months or 6 months. So this one has it to where you can put the term of the agreement. If you leave it blank, it's for 180 days. And then it says that it can be extended by mutual agreement. And the terms of this agreement will be deemed automatically extended to include the closing date of any purchase. Basically meaning that if this expires prior to your closing date, it's going to be extended automatically because it's going back to that identified property statement, which means that it's a property that you were helped on. Scope of Coldwell Banker representation. In big bold letters, it says that you are advised to seek independent professional advice and counsel concerning legal and tax matters and any respect to the condition of any property. Essentially, the scope of Coldwell Banker representation is explaining to you what an agent already does. An agent is going to be there for you, is going to guide you, is going to give you as much information as possible, is going to be in your corner trying to work with you from the way, way beginning all the way to the closing. And then hopefully if that person does a good job, they're going to then be a reference for you while you own that property for, you know, years to come. In there, it's basically saying, we're not an inspector. We're not an attorney. We don't work for the the township to have the 100% accurate tax information and all that type of stuff. Just says that we are going to be your agent, and you still need to get professional help through all the other means, as far as an attorney, an inspector, all that stuff. Number four, broker's commission. You acknowledge that the broker's compensation for representing you in connection with a purchase of an identified property is blank percent of the purchase price, or which is going to be then a flat fee. You acknowledge and understand that brokerage commissions are not set by law and are fully negotiable. Pretty self-explanatory. That's almost going to be the same wording, I'm assuming, for listing agreements. Now, real quick, just to kind of put out there, this is one of the most updated. Today is May 30th. I believe they – not May 30th. What's the day?
The 30th.
Yeah, but we're in July, not May. it's been a long couple of weeks, people. It's July 30th, hopefully by August 1st, definitely before August 17th. Coldwell Banker is also going to have some provisions to this as they are getting information from NAR, and more importantly, how it needs to be presented to the general public, how it needs to be presented to potential buyers. So all of these changes are going to need a little bit of massage time to kind of get used to the changes and what's going on, and I'm sure some adjustments. So as I'm going through this, for by all means, I'm just trying to present the information that I have as of today. I'm sure things are going to change tomorrow, the next day, all the way up to August 17th. But those two things, which are going to be most important, is that compensation can't be shown on the MLS, and that agents that are working with a buyer need to have a signed agreement prior to showing any properties. That's not going to change. Those are going to be the two biggest changes that are going to be going into August 17th. Property search criteria. This is basically just saying that we're going to be setting up a property search for you, which I do for all my buyers, showcasing your needs, the location, where you need to be. I have on here that is highlighted that Coldwell Banker will inform you of all properties that meet your search criteria, regardless of any compensation offer, which will provide you with the greatest exposure to available properties, but which may also obligate you to pay all or part of the commission at closing. If you purchase an identified property, that amount that you owe Coldwell Banker under paragraph 5 will be reduced by the amount of compensation offer received by Coldwell Banker on your side of the transaction. Right there is stating that there's a possibility that the selling side could offer compensation. And it just is saying that you are still going to be obligated as far as the compensation if it does, if those numbers don't add up, if there's amount over that needs to be paid for the buyer's commission. That's something too that will kind of need to be figured out, because if you're agreeing to X percent of the purchase price, but then the seller is offering compensation of X percent, and then how those numbers, I'm not even too sure. I don't even want to give my thoughts on that until we start figuring more stuff out. This part is a little bit more interesting as well, though, too. You have an option in your sole discretion to direct Coldwell Banker not to show you properties where you may have an obligation to pay all or part of the commission. Now, sellers, take this one and think about it. Buyers are going to now have the option to say, show me properties only that the seller is offering some compensation for the buyer's agent or all of the compensation. So if it's being put out there to where they are not offering any compensation, buyers are going to have the opportunity to check this off to say, then I don't even want to see it because I'm already, you know, above where I want to be at as far as what the closing costs are going to be. I don't want to add anything else to that. So don't even show me that property. Sellers, take that into consideration when you are having these conversations with your real estate professional and they are saying to you the benefits or the differences as far as, okay, what happens if I do offer or what happens if I don't offer? It's going to go either way. Next part. And then it gets a little bit easier as we go into the second and third pages. This right now is only 3 pages long. It may change after that, but we'll see. You acknowledge and understand that you may include a provision in your purchase offer to the seller that reflects your expectations, if any, regarding the amount of the commission, if any, that you want the seller to pay to Coldwell Banker to reduce or eliminate your obligation under paragraph 5. And if accepted by the seller, you should ensure that the seller's agreement to pay any or part of the commission is included in your final sales contract. What that's saying is that you can then offer, you can still present an offer to a seller, regardless if they are offering commission or not offering commission to buyer's agents. And you can have it be a provision within the contract to say, hey, I'm offering you X amount. This is also going to include, you know, X percent or X amount that's going to be paid out to my buyer's agent at closing. And that's going to be a provision that you could put in there to essentially say, even though you're getting X amount, from the offer amount, it's really going to be reduced by this, which is essentially going to be a seller's concession, which again will be something that we'll have to talk a little bit more about in depth once they figure out how they're going to do that. That's page one. Page one has a lot of the information. Page two talks a little bit about the property types, locations, price range, and stuff as far as what the buyer's going to be looking for. Buyer's representation and obligations kind of just talks about, again, what the expectations for an agent is going to be representing them as a buyer's agent. This is a question here that I'm sure will come up in the following weeks as far as a consent to dual agency, just basically saying that there's a possibility that some of the properties that are sent over to you could potentially be the same properties from the buyer's agent as a listing agent, which it would then be dual agency. But I heard a couple of things about that, so I don't want to talk too much in there where I don't know if dual agency is still going to be allowed or how that's going to be allowed. Other buyers basically just saying, you're not the only buyer that I'm working with. There's other buyers that could potentially even want to put offers in on the same properties that I'm showing you. Inspection recommendation or recommended, stating that we're not inspectors. You should 100% get a property inspected. General terms of the agreement, all just, you know, contract stuff. The one thing on here that I did want to talk about real quick is that on item 12, and I'm sure that a lot of these agreements are going to be the same no matter what the agency is that you're working for. But on here, it does say that item 12 has lien. And it says, you acknowledge and agree that if the commission is unpaid at the time of closing, Coldwell Banker has the right to an equitable lien on the sale proceeds and the property. The lien may be served upon the buyer and closing attorneys and or filed with the county clerk register of deeds for the amount due plus costs and fees, including attorney fees for recording lien. Basically saying that if it's not paid after the closing, essentially a lien could be put on your home for the cost of what is going to be there for recording lien, along with what's obviously owed to the agent. Long story short, and then the last page here is just signatures and signing and making sure that everything is in effect. My own personal take, do I think that this agreement is good? At the end of the day, yes. I think it's good because it then has the buyer in a contract with their buyer's agent, an agent, and I don't want to speak for all of the agents out there, but the agents that I work with, the agents that I know, especially, you know, the people that are full-time, this is their job, this is their livelihood, this is what they do every single day, not even just Monday through Friday, Monday through Sunday. if you're an agent, you kind of understand the demand, especially when working with working with buyers, and rightfully so. If anything, this is just ensuring that, you know, there's an agreement now. It's like, I'm putting all of my energy, all of my time into trying to, you know, get you a property, negotiate for you, work with you, do everything that I possibly can. This is the agreement that you are in it with me, and you're sticking with me for these properties, like, you know, that I'm showing you. I don't want to say downsides, but the only thing is the idea. I don't know how open houses are going to work. That's another question too, that should probably be coming out in the next 2 weeks. If you're going to have buyers that aren't working with agents sign one of these, you know, exclusively just for that open house, I would assume. My style of getting to know buyers is a lot more of the relationship and conversation wise, and just trying to get an idea and an understanding of what exactly that they're looking for. So having them, you know, having to present them with this prior to maybe having some of those conversations, is just going to be another step. You know, obviously I will explain this. I'll explain why we have to do this now. And I'm sure that most buyers are going to understand that. All of the polls, all of the questions that they're sending out to a lot of the buyers that are in the market right now, I think something like 96% of them actually said that they would prefer having an agent to represent them, which is not a shocker. I don't think that this is going to cancel out buyer's agents. I don't think that this is going to be this insane drastic change that's going to take years and years to implement. I think it'll kind of be done relatively quickly. I think that ultimately it'll have a benefit, and it'll just be a means of just working it out in the meantime and just trying to figure out the best way to have this done with these buyers. And also buyers too. Listen, buyers, you'll really understand the worth of a buyer's agent and the knowledge that they're able to give you and the recommendations and the guidance, everything that a buyer's agent does, you'll be able to really truly understand once you start having these conversations with the person that you wind up working with. So that's all I have for today. Question-wise, as I said, I'm going to say it again, go to NAR's website, and there's a frequently asked questions list. There's actually the link that will show all of the changes that are being implemented as of August 17th. It talks about it in depth. It talks about things that were, I think it has some of the corrections as far as what was described one way, but really needs to be fine-tuned. Again, all questions, go there, check it out. Any questions on my end, feel free to reach out, let me know. I'll be able to have the updated version of this by the 17th, but probably by next week or so, and be able to start, you know, just reading through it and being able to make sure that I'm fully educated as far as what I need to explain to any buyers that I'm working with. And then obviously how that translates to the sellers and then those listing appointments and all that stuff. So just a matter of adapting it, a matter of adding some conversations into the mix that aren't already being had. But ultimately, I think that these changes will happen pretty quickly and will be for a benefit at the end of the day. So again, thank you guys so much. Check out NAR's site if you have any questions. As far as the podcast, as always, subscribe, comment, leave me some suggestions. I'm sure that this one will have a few comments and some talking pieces. So I'm all for it. And yeah, stay tuned. I got some great episodes coming up in the remainder of this year into the fall. We'll be talking with some people regarding commercial real estate, some people staying within the profession, a couple more solo episodes, and then finishing strong for the remainder of 2024. So enjoy the rest of your summer. I'll talk to you guys soon.